it's Pamela from Pine Hill. You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today we will hear about how the food pantries of the Capital District report that 83% of their 70-member feeding programs have reported an increase in demand. Natasha Pernicka, the group's executive director, will explain the local hunger situation today on the WGXC Morning Show. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather, the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after Jason Martin finishes singing this song. And it's time for the local news on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
On Saturday, December 10th, the Athens Cultural Center puts on the 2022 Athens Victorian Stroll, a holiday tradition that's been gone for a few years because of the pandemic, but is back this year with all sorts of free activities from 1 p.m. in the afternoon through the evening. Take a stroll through the village, sample all sorts of food and drinks. Santa Claus will be around and carolers will be singing. That's at the 2022 Athens Victorian Stroll on Saturday, December 10th. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's how you can's. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Monday, December 5th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. The Catskill Central School District announced on social media that due to a water main issue, the middle school and high school will be closed for instruction on December 5th. Then, beginning December 6th, both schools will shift to virtual instruction only until water and heat can be restored. Students are advised to listen for additional announcements about the possible rescheduling of upcoming events in those buildings. The Catskill Elementary School is not impacted by these issues and will provide in-person instruction all week. Updates will be provided online at catskillcsd.org. Roger Hennigan Gilson reports for the Times Union that court papers filed last weekend before jury selection was set to begin in the trial of four people charged in the 2020 beating of local mechanic Harold Handy include details of attempts to negotiate a cash payment to Handy that would have allowed all four of the accused to avoid criminal charges. The four defendants are charged with unlawful imprisonment and assault stemming from the alleged beating during an Independence Day party in Kinderhook. The filings include a draft agreement between Handy and defendants Sheriff's Deputy Kelly Rosenstrock, her husband, gym owner Alex Rosenstrock, IRS agent Brian Hogg, and contractor Corey Gaylord, promising a payment of $650,000 if Handy helped his alleged attackers avoid criminal charges. The filings also included a screenshot of a text message from Handy's private attorney requesting an even larger payout. The matter was set for trial on November 28th, but about an hour into jury selection, District Attorney Paul Chaika called for a private conference with County Judge Richard Kowiek. After that conversation, Kowiek announced an adjournment, but failed to give a reason. The minutes of the conversation have been sealed. 5 days before, Hague's attorney, Paul De Rohanessen II, asked the court to subpoena Handy's private lawyer, Paul Freeman, for documents related to any attempt to secure cash settlement from the defendants. Chaika responded on the eve of the trial with his own filing. In it, Chaika stated he had never seen the draft settlement agreement or the text message before DeHorosian's subpoena request. Those documents should have been turned over to prosecutors as part of the pretrial discovery process, Chaika said. And he asked the court to sanction the defense counsel for failing to comply with discovery laws. Chaika also claims the defense attorneys had failed to reveal the identities of their clients' civil attorneys, nor anything about the negotiations that appear to have taken place. It is unknown if the recent filings were the reason the court proceedings were abruptly adjourned, because Kowiek and Chaika remained silent on the subject. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Carl Campanelli is reporting for the New York Post that Republican Representative Elise Stefanik is accusing U.S. Postal Service workers of opening her campaign mail and stealing $20,000 in campaign checks. Stefanik, the House GOP conference chair, made the claim in a December 1st letter to Postmaster General Louis DeJoy. Quote, "We are writing you on behalf of our clients, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik and her campaign committee, Elise for Congress, concerning the repeated targeted theft of campaign contributions from packages sent through the United States Postal Service," unquote, wrote attorney Michael Toner. Toner alleged that on four occasions between June and November this year, packages sent by the Elise for Congress committee containing campaign contributions were ripped open and the contents taken on the custody of the post office or its contractors. The attorney further alleged that in addition to the loss of campaign contributions, hundreds of Stefanik's supporters were exposed to potential identity theft or financial fraud. It is unclear if any of the stolen checks were cashed. The U.S. Postal Service or of the Inspector General is investigating the mail theft, but Toner and said the IG's office, quote, "which recovered the discarded ripped open packages in Memphis, has not returned our clients' calls," unquote. Stefanik is demanding the Postal Service provide her with a full update by December 8th on what has been done to date in investigating the thefts and what measures it will take to prevent or prosecute mail theft against her and other Americans in the future. Postal Service spokesperson Dave Partenheimer said, quote, "We did receive a letter on December 1st from representatives of Elise for Congress, and we will respond to the sender directly with our findings on this investigative matter. In matters like this, both the Postal Inspection Service and Office of Inspector General have a potential role to play," unquote. Read more about this story in the New York Post. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, WGXC.org.
You like music?
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues right here on WGXC. The show is a monthly roundup of new offerings from the worlds of psych, indie, jangle pop, experimental music, and folk, bolstered with enough classic fodder to make them stick.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Tune in to Crawl Out from the Fallout every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXE 90.7 FM.
How can I say no to that?
Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to the better weather. It is Monday, December 5th. We are 92.8% of the way through the year. We have 16 days left until winter. Put a pin in it. Local early morning temperatures range from 17 degrees in Durham to 32 in Cantersville. It looks like more of a geographic location issue instead of an elevation issue. Other parts of the mountain chain are cold. Regional average soil temperature is 38 degrees and on a steady decline. Closest expected snowfall today is just shy of 300 miles away north of Ottawa. We're going to reach 45 degrees by 2 p.m. Winds will be moderate in the afternoon, keeping conditions cold. coat and hat time. Overnight, temperatures fall to 35 degrees. Up in the hills, expect a sub-freezing dip. Tomorrow, temperatures rise to 50 degrees, but it takes a full day of rain to get there. Overnight, more rain and temperatures pretty much hold at 50. Wednesday, rain tapers off by dark and we see a high of 56 degrees. Thursday, dries out with a high of 50. These are the patterns I was expecting in the long-term forecast. Most of the early winter should see more rain than snow, but we shall see as it is almost here. Sunset today will be at 4:11 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:05 a.m. Looking way up, we see the Orion spacecraft will be slingshotting around the moon today, setting itself up for a return to Earth on Sunday. Solar wind speed is currently 473.6 kilometers per second at 6.18 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 6 MHz till dark, then fair across the board with good conditions below 4 MHz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4.3, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 93. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jack Sensabaugh of Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are invited to join me upon the Cypress Bough. Music from North Africa, West and Central Asia. First Monday of every month, 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
WGXC helps you sleep at night and stay awake in the daytime. Whether at work or play, in good times and in bad, no matter the weather, community radio brings you local news, agricultural information, music and sounds, oratory, and radio stews.
90.7 FM, WGXC.
Here's Hudson Valley band Mercury Rev with The Dark Is Rising.
Thank you. stars are in position, all will be revealed. But I know that until then, unless the stars surrender, all will be concealed. And now the snow is falling, and all my fences torn. I know you need someone, and I can hear someone somewhere in this song.
We reported recently that former Catskill School Superintendent Dr. Ronell Cook died in a car accident. And on Monday, December 5th at 3:45 p.m., behind the superintendent's office in Catskill, there will be a memorial service held for him. This outdoor service will last approximately 30 minutes and will take place rain or shine. Students, staff, and community members are invited to the memorial service for former Catskill School Superintendent Dr. Ronell Cook on Monday, December 5th at 3:45 p.m. behind the superintendent's office.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
A state legislature could draw an extreme partisan gerrymander without consequence, something that the state court would otherwise strike down as illegal under the state constitution. That is just as backwards as it sounds. State lawmakers could violate their own constitutions.
Eliza Swearenbecker with the Brennan Center for Justice says the independent state legislator theory being argued by conservatives before the Supreme Court this week would be dangerous and permit highly partisan election rules. In the case Moore v. Harper, some North Carolina lawmakers are arguing that the Constitution doesn't impose the usual limits on the power of state legislatures when they regulate federal elections. Former President Donald Trump is repeating his false claims about 2020 and posted that a fraud of this magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. That drew a reaction from Republican Representative Mike Turner of Ohio.
Well, you know, he says a lot of things, but that doesn't mean that it's ever going to happen. So you got to accept exact fact from fantasy, and fantasy is that we're going to suspend the Constitution.
Turner's remarks to ABC News and posted online echo those of some, but not all, Republicans. Georgia Secretary of State records show mail-in voting last month fell more than 80% compared to 2 years ago. Observers say that's due to tighter rules imposed by state lawmakers, but both sides are trying to talk up turnout for Tuesday's Senate runoff there, including in Spanish.
Hola, Georgia. Soy América Ferrera. Senador Pastor Warnock está en una segunda vuelta electoral. Es por eso que les pido que voten el 6 de diciembre o antes.
Actress America Ferrera encourages Georgians to vote for incumbent Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock against Republican challenger Herschel Walker. A win by Warnock would give Democrats a 51st vote in the Senate and reduce the influence of dissenting Democratic Senators Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona.
I came back to ask you to help us finish what we've started. Because this is where our movement for change began. Right here.
President Obama may have begun his successful 2012 presidential campaign in Iowa, but the Democratic National Committee has voted to change its calendar for presidential primaries, knocking Iowa out of its early spot. Nearly a quarter of voters in last month's midterms said they had no religious affiliation, according to an Associated Press nationwide poll. The survey found these voters backed Democratic candidates and supported abortion rights by significant percentages, helping deliver wins for Democrats in battleground states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Arizona. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. On December 7th, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in what is shaping up to be a landmark case in election law, Moore versus Harper. On its face, it's about gerrymandering in North Carolina, but its decision may reshape U.S. elections, giving state legislatures ultimate power over election law. After the North Carolina legislature gerrymandered congressional districts, locking in 10 of 14 seats to the GOP, the North Carolina Supreme Court threw out the maps as unconstitutional. But the GOP filed suit using the independent state legislature theory to argue that language in the Elections Clause in the U.S. Constitution gives state legislatures ultimate authority over elections, including redistricting, conducting elections, and most alarmingly, voting rights. The theory is based on early arguments by a minority of the framers and uses an interpretation of the Elections Clause that most constitutional scholars have dismissed as fringe until now. 4 of the U.S. Supreme Court justices, Alito, Thomas, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh, recently voiced support for the theory in other cases. The positions of Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Amy Coney Barrett are still unclear. More on the independent state legislature theory and its use of a document that the country's founders even thought was suspect in our next report. We have links to details on the case and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Thank you.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined by Natasha Panica, who is the Executive Director of Food Pantries for the Capital District. And, you know, while we all tend to pay a little bit more attention to the issue of hunger during the holiday seasons, hunger, unfortunately, is a 365-day-a-year problem. And there was a recent article that highlighted some of the growing demands for supplemental food, emergency food in the Capital District, particularly as the various relief programs on COVID begin to run out. So Natasha, what has been happening at the food pantries throughout the Capital District?
Great. Thanks, Mark. And thanks for inviting me on for this important conversation. You know, during the pandemic, there were a lot of federal assistance programs, state programs stepping in to help people who were struggling, and those child tax credits have ended. The SNAP increases, honestly, at this point are irrelevant because of inflation. And there are so many people struggling to make ends meet now that really never have before. While at the same time, food pantries are also struggling to keep up with needs. You know, inflation is not just impacting individuals, but nonprofit organizations are also struggling with the increased prices in gas, food, and all of the other impacts of inflation as well. So what we are seeing in the capital region in New York is that 80% of the food pantries in our coalition of 70 are experiencing increased levels. When we recently surveyed them, 50% of our food pantry coalition members are really worried about having enough financial resources to make ends meet through the end of this busy holiday season.
Now, one of the issues is most food pantries rely very heavily on volunteers, and a lot of the volunteers are elderly. And I imagine they may have been a little bit reluctant, especially during the early days of COVID, to be getting out in the public. Has that changed as COVID become more normalized? Or I assume you still always need more volunteers?
Yeah, I mean, we can use volunteers. The volunteers that are most needed in the food pantry system are regular volunteers who dedicate, you know, once a week, once a month, like regular people who actually perform like a task, an operational task. Some of the things that we are in need of now are people to do the home deliveries of pantry groceries. Resources for home delivery has really dried up, and kind of going back pre-pandemic to relying on volunteers to do that. One of the struggles is we're really trying to increase access to food pantry services and transportation, and people with, you know, disabilities who are not able to access a pantry in person really need that delivery service. So, you know, we want to be able to provide a consistent service, which helps when you have paid staff to do it. But if there are people out there who would like to dedicate time ongoing to do volunteer work, the other thing that I really is tough is most people don't realize that most of the food that pantries distribute, they actually pay for. And a pantry's dollar goes a lot farther than you if you want to do a food drive. Like, food drives are great, but pantries also need money. And so if you're doing okay right now and you can donate to food pantries, you can find a local pantry throughout the state of New York on our map, thefoodpantries.org. We have a food pantry map. So if you want to help your neighborhood pantry, you can find one on there. Or you can help the food pantries for the Capital District, which helps a coalition of 70 food pantries as well. The money makes a direct impact to helping over 50,000 people get enough food for more than 2 million meals every year. It's very needed.
Can you talk maybe a little bit about the demographics of who, you know, you're, you know, feeding? I know in the past that, you know, maybe half of the guests, you know, at least getting food, you know, were children, but there was also a pretty high percentage of the working poor. People have jobs, not making enough meat. Has that been changing over time?
You know, there are a lot of people who are working who just aren't making enough money and rely on food pantries. I was actually doing a presentation recently for a company talking about our organization, and the administrative assistant came up to me after the presentation and said, you know, Natasha, thank you so much for raising awareness. She's like, since inflation, I actually have to use a food pantry to make ends meet too. And she was like, thank you so much for the work that you do in the community. And I, you know, whenever people say, Natasha, how do we end hunger? Number one, it's living wages. People are falling so far behind in wages. If you are an employer or someone in a decision-making opinion, please, please focus on living wages for your employees.
Now, you mentioned earlier the SNAP program, you know, used to be known more as the food stamp program. But, you know, are there things that the anti-hunger programs are looking to the state, federal, or even, I guess, county governments to be stepping up the plate on in terms of trying to deal with hunger and helping people with food?
Yeah, I mean, New York State is really ahead of the game as far as coordinating all of the different state agencies along with the nonprofit partners that are really trying to work on solutions. For a hunger-free New York, you know, we've got a lot of work to go, and it's really hard to, you know, push on the federal government. I think that, honestly, we have federal solutions that work, that if the federal government would just increase SNAP benefits, increase access to SNAP, I feel that we should mandate that any online grocery should be able to accept SNAP and WIC. And anyone who purchases groceries using SNAP and WIC online should have supplemental provided by the federal government to provide free home delivery. I think that right there is the most dignified way to end hunger. It's because people can have choice in the groceries and you take away the access problem. But while we're waiting and pushing on federal government to make important changes, we have to make sure that people don't go hungry tonight. And that's why food pantries are so important. And we need to make sure that their shelves are stocked with a variety and quantity of nutritious food to help people make ends meet in the meantime.
Quickly review some of the other services that the food pantries of the Capital District provide. Looking quickly at your website, I think you also had some programs, particularly trying to target like infants and young children.
Sure. We are a part of the National Diaper Bank Network. We provide free formula and diapers through our coalition of food pantries. We also work with groups to do personal hygiene products, feminine hygiene products. And we have a food as medicine program as we're working on sustainable funding through Medicaid for people who are struggling with diabetes, obesity, hypertension, to prescribe medically tailored meals and medically tailored groceries along with nutritional counseling and therapy. So, you know, we're looking at a lot of different ways to help people. And, you know, SNAP doesn't cover diapers and personal hygiene products. And so those items are expensive as well. So distributing them through the food pantry system can also help people.
Now, you mentioned earlier that, you know, obviously people appreciate volunteers on Thanksgiving and Christmas, but the reality is you're looking for volunteers, you know, on an ongoing regular basis. So in the last minute, you know, if people want to help out either by volunteering or make a donation, how best to get in contact with their local food pantries?
Yeah, the best way is to go to our website. It's thefoodpantries.org. They can get involved through our website locally here in the Capital Region of New York, but we also have a map on our website that has food pantries and community meal programs across the entire state. So no matter where you live in New York, we've got resources that you can find. The other thing is, if you are struggling right now and could really use some extra help, know that food pantries are not income-based, they're need-based. So if you make $10 a month too much to qualify for SNAP, you can still get assistance from a food pantry. So go to thefoodpantries.org to find resources, or also if you're doing okay right now and can help our community, we really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Natasha Pernicka of Food Pantries of the Capital District. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Come on, then.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.